that we can see you. We want to hear your voice today, Jesus. I pray that you will anoint Stan, Lord, that you will speak right through him, that we may hear your voice through him. And God, thank you that you are here and that we can worship you. Amen.
Okay, let the excitement begin, right? Or continue. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for worship. Thank you, God, that we can join our voices together. We lift up the name of Jesus. And we have a story to tell. Every one of us has a story to tell. And we've been celebrating that and talking about that lately, that it's about what Jesus has done in our lives, that he's changed us, and that we're followers. We're Christ followers. I've been thinking about that. We were gone for a week, and we were in L.A. for a week. I got a son who lives out there, and I don't know, just you get time to think sometimes, and just thinking about that I'm a Christ follower, and that when Jesus went to his disciples, he said, follow me. That's really all he said. He didn't say, okay, if you want to follow me, you know, every eye closed, every hand down, and anyone who wants to follow me, just put your hands up, and please keep your heads down, keep your heads bowed. You know, Jesus never did that. He just said, follow me. You want to come or not? You want to follow me? There was no organ playing in the background, right? He didn't twist anyone's arms, right? He didn't. He just said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And he took all the sentimentalism out of it, all of the, all the coercion out of it. He just made it a clear statement. Are you going to follow me or aren't you going to follow me? And that's really the big question, you know, for all of us. And yeah, we're going to hear more about that. But I want to give John some chance to talk here today. John, it's your turn to tell a bit of your story. So I want to just pray for you. Why don't you come on up here, brother? Amen. Yeah. Maybe you should wait till he's done.
Maybe. Thank you.
Love you. So God, I just want to pray for my brother. Give him courage and help the Word of God to come through this vessel. This brother, this follower of Christ, this brother who has said, yes, I want to follow Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Where do you want?
So my name is John. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Thanks. Hi, Chris. As Pastor Alvin refers to me when he's introducing me to people as John Laurie Boulevard, but John Stephen Laurie is my name. I'm 57 years old, and I was born into a family that I didn't know. By the time I was 8 or 9 years old, I'd been bounced around. I'm a product of the adoption system. The foster homes, foster care. I got so much. Stan told me 15 minutes, but I'm in the process of writing kind of my life story for a writer, and hopefully it's going to be produced, and it's way, way longer than what I have allowed time here. But anyway, thank you for your patience. My goodness. Stan phoned me and says, hey, John, remember you're going to give testimony on Sunday? And I said, oh, yeah, Jesus, life is so busy. You know how that can get. Sometimes I sat down and I wrote a whole bunch of stuff on a piece of paper. And last night, I woke up about 3 in the morning and I wrote some more. And it's all on my coffee table at home because I thought that I have a phone. I mean, there's lots of stuff on the phone. I could just, hi, how are you? And I could read it. But that's kind of not where I'm at today. And so by the time I was 9, I'd been bounced around half a dozen group homes, half a dozen foster homes. Finally, I got adopted. I think I was 7 when I was brought into a family. Soon after my adoption, the stepfather that I was so blessed with, who didn't really get to know because he was bedridden, he had cancer, and he passed away. Skip forward a couple of years. In between that period of time, I was still fairly much an unsettled child. And even today, sometimes I wake up, I feel unsettled, but that's okay. I have the strength now. So by the time I was 17, turning 18, I had already done 2 years provincial time, 3 years federal time. And 5 years ago in my life, and I can skip ahead because there's so much to tell, so much I would like to share, you'll have to read it. By the time I was, back up. 5 years ago, I pulled a needle out of my arm and broke my crack pipe and gave my life to the Lord. So I'm healed everywhere. My situation at the time, I would like to say that I did it on my own, and I'm going to give praise to the Lord, but I didn't do it on my own. The drug dealers scared me straight, basically. A farmer out in Sylvan Lake was driving his tractor to a field in which he was going to go cultivate. And it was that time of the year where it was spring. It was kind of sunny out, but there was still lots of ice, but the snow was melting. And this farmer, instead of going to his one field in the east, came to his southern field because he'd already driven to the other field and there was not ready to be cultivated or worked on. As he's driving down the road, he sees me. And I'm in a ditch upside down. I'm bleeding. I'm full of holes. My fingers half detached, etc., etc. Sounds tragic. It has a bright side. I've forgiven those people, and I've forgiven myself for leading that life and being in that situation. And I'm shaking like a leaf up here, but it's okay because I have the strength. So this farmer finds me. I'm in intensive care for a long a whole bunch of time. I was looking for that word. And when I woke up in intensive care, there was a whole bunch of ladies, and all I could hear was, thank you, Jesus, give him strength, bring him back, etc., etc. And I opened my eyes, and there's a whole bunch of ladies from the chapel and the nurses and some community members were there praying for me. And I didn't know these people, and it humbled me. And it gave me strength that now, 5 years later, I'll pee in any cup you want. I'm clean, clean, clean. It was very difficult. This being a Christian has been the hardest thing that I've gone through. You see so much more in a clear light. That makes sense? Yeah, see? Thank you. I've had the great opportunity to walk in his path with his strength for the last 5 years. I'm a dedicated Christian. I give my time, I give my money, I give my energy, I give my hope, I give my experience to a lot of people in everyday life. Most recently, it's not all about me. It's about him. I give all praise to him. And while there's some people, I like to give praise to Stan. He's baptized me. He took me kind of under his wing. He knew my lifestyle before and the path that I was walking. And on many occasions, you know, he took me aside and had little talks with me and, you know, blessed me and would pray for me. And I didn't really care. I was an addict. I didn't really want anybody else to help me. I had a savior, and that was my drug dealer. He was there every 15 minutes if I wanted him to, and usually I did. All my brothers and sisters on the street, they were there when they needed me and when I needed them. Then when I gave my life to God and wanted to make a change in my life, I changed user groups. I changed user groups from being on the street corner. I used to sleep in a dumpster right behind this building, which, a little self-promo here, I have a brand new boxing club right here. And we opened, had our grand opening last night. We had 250 people. We raised $1,400 and something, et cetera, et cetera. But I used to sleep right there. I used to sleep behind here. I used to sleep over there. I used to sleep, when I was asleep, I could sleep anywhere. When I was high, I could be anywhere as well. So as time goes on, I've been blessed with a church group, a church family. And growing up, not knowing parents and being raised in detention centers and wayward boy homes and jail, you don't get a lot of culture. You do if you want to rob somebody. You do if you want to do dope. You do if you want to learn how to do something better on the street. And in some ways, I thank the Lord for putting me through that education, because there's a lot of times that I had to rely on what I grew up with and what I knew just to survive. And I believe now, looking back, that he did bring me down that road and gave me those experiences to not only make me a better man, but to be able to have the courage to stand out and share that. And I wish you'd give me a little more this morning, because I'm still shaking like a leaf, and I feel comfortable. I'm good. I am. I'm feeling very comfortable up here. I was blessed to be asked to share a little bit. Since I gave myself to a new master and got rid of the old masters and put them on the back burner, and then eventually just cleaned out my junk drawer and threw them out. That was probably the biggest thing in my life. I've been involved with, did I mention a good church family and a good, yeah, I did that. I am so blessed. I was given the opportunity to go right from People's Place and into a Christian home with a little old lady who's a missionary. Her name is Pat Hamill, and some of you are dear friends of hers. And you know what she's all about. And she's a firecracker, and I wish I only had half the energy that this woman has got, because she definitely is for the Lord and service. And some of the things that she's got me involved in is VBSs, and we were so gracious to be able to have a VBS here, and we had a lot of the church family here, and I can kind of look and see people that were involved. And hopefully next year you'll be involved a little more. Bring your friends. We're going to have more kids. So we ran a VBS here. Since I met this lady, Pat, and I moved into her house for 3 years, I was kind of the arts and crafts guy, and I built all the props and everything, and we ran the VBS in her backyard. Well, you can appreciate for a whole week, 60, 70, 80 kids running around your backyard. And I'm kind of a gardener, so yeah, I had to keep the kids out of the garden and had to keep them from picking flowers to give to their friends. And so all of that was kind of fun. So then we moved to a venue, and we were very blessed to be offered this space. And I believe that it was a very good success here. And then right from here, we went right to Hobima. And this was in the last 3 weeks, maybe a month, I guess. And I know that there are troubles. See, I told you this wasn't going to be all about me. I'm blessed and I'm saved, and that's the bottom line. But there's others out there that are needing attention. And I'm doing my very best to help contribute to that success of these children. And Hobima was one of our goals to go. And I know that probably some of your church family here, Pastor Stan, have been involved in Hobima, and if you have, you know how difficult it is. I know it's just over there. I know that we have issues right there, all around you. In town here, we have issues. Hobima is a different thing. Not to downplay the people there, we wanted to go there and run and introduce the children to the Word of the Lord and Jesus Christ. And we found it very difficult. One, I had to go to the RCMP, I had to go to city council, I had to go to the band leaders, I had to go to community leaders to make sure that we were going to be safe when we went there. And those of you who have been reading in the newspaper and hearing in the news, believe what you read. It's a very dangerous place in Hobima. Anyway, so there's four bands there, and where we got the setup was at a Christian lady's house who has been there and who has done that, and her husband has been there and done that. They've both been street people, and now they found the Lord, and God bless them both. They're trying to raise their children in a closed community of gangs. And when we went there, we went initially to set up one VBS, but there's four bands, and the bands were all prejudiced against each other, and no, not talking politics or get off the track here, but they don't like one another, and it was really difficult for us because we set up a VBS right here, and there was a dry stream bed and a field, and the children on this side were not allowed to go over there. So we ended up, so we set up a VBS over there. Now me, I'm kind of liberal-minded, and I ain't scared of nothing. I was going to set the VBS up right here so that they both had to come, but we weren't allowed to do that. So the house that we set up at, and we had a great response. The children there stay up all night, and they sleep all day. And I can appreciate that, because when it's hot out, it's kind of nice to be in a cool basement on the couch with the feet up. But the children, they did come. And I shared with Pastor Alvin when I first came back, because he was very instrumental in us going there. And I thank him for his support, and God bless him. There was one little girl, and she lived in a house across the street, which is right next to the gang house. And there's four gang houses there, or five, half a dozen, whatever. The selling of drugs is open. It doesn't matter if the police are parked on the corner, they will sell right, sit on the cop car front fender and deal drugs. It's really crazy out there. And there's a house across the street where we got to set up. And we had the tent and the flyers and the balloons, and I tried to do everything I could artistically to make what we were doing attractive from far away, visually. So the kids did come, and we all got handed out little things to them, and it was great. The thing that touched my heart the most about going there and really humbled me and made me want to become stronger in my faith, for one, but more of a contributor, was the drug house right across the street where we sat up. When every morning we went there, the door would open and out would come the two kids. And two little girls, they were about this big. Neither one of them could talk. Neither one of them, they were just learning how, well, they could walk. They ran around and played. The one little girl, when I first got introduced to them and to her, Maya was her name. She would come to our group, and she wouldn't say anything, and she was scared. When I put my hand on her head, she would shake, and she was so scared. And so that was on the Monday. And on the Tuesday, she would come again, and I would do my very best to reach out to her, because I knew that she was a troubled child, and at least coming from a troubled home. And the traffic in and out of this house was just like traffic on Ross Street on a Friday afternoon. One major car would show up, and then 5 minutes after it showed up, 50 cars would show up. And it was right across the street where we're trying to be nurturing to the children and teach them the word and tell them that people do love them. And that was really hard. So this little girl on Tuesday, I went to hug her, and she screamed and yelled out, like I hurt her, and that was really hard. So Wednesday, when I showed up in the morning, the mother opened the door. Didn't have to open it. There's no doorknobs on it. And been kicked in half a dozen times, and et cetera, et cetera. It's lifestyle in that closed environment. And this little girl came and ran to my truck when she seen me drive up in the morning. And I thought, oh my goodness, wow, this is fantastic. So I opened up my door, and she grabbed my leg like she hurt me. She's a little girl, they had little fingers. She grabbed my leg, and I said, good morning. And she looked at me, and for the first time, she smiled. And that was really important to me, because I knew that she was a hurting child. So I says, well, do you want to go to the backyard? And she kind of looked at me, and, you know, the whole week I was there, she never said a word. I don't know if she was, she couldn't talk, or maybe she was, I have no idea. I'm going to go back and find out, though. But she would take my hand, and she would lead me to the backyard. And for the next 3 days until Friday, that little girl was my bestest bud. And it was really, really hard to leave her. When I first met her on Monday, she had on this pink little, cute little outfit. And on Friday when I left her, she had on that cute little outfit. And every morning I saw her, she had on that cute little outfit. And every day that we left, she had on that cute little outfit. This child woke up and went to sleep and lived her day and lived her night in the same clothes for the whole week that we were there. And that was really humbling because I'm a Value Village shopper, and it's so easy to take advantage of just, if you need something here, just go and get it. And we have the freedom to do so. And this little child had no freedom. And I know she's just a little child, and she has the rest of her life to grow up. But right now, I could see that her footprints are being washed away in the sand because there is no hope for her the way that she is living. So I'm kind of concentrating on doing good for her. And there's a whole group of us are kind of going to concentrate on that. We're going back next year. And next year we have the community leadership in Hobima very much for what we've got going on. And they're very supportive. And I know that there's been a lot of Christian groups and people who have gone through trying to save Hobima. But what they need to do, I believe, and this is my observation being the first time out there, is they need some understanding as to what the issues are. And I heard so many times, oh, the white man, blah, 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 blah. And I think of that, and I had chance every night to think about it, and we pray around with our prayer group and the church group, and at home with Pat, we just sit around before dinner, and we give praise to the food, and the hands prepared it. And I look at it, and we thought that it's so crazy the way the thinking is there, because that happened to the, you know, the white man situation happened with the great ancestors. There's new generations coming, and every one of those generations has access, especially today with the technology and the multimedia and the cars and the freedoms that we have, to make better in their life. And you know the sad part? With the exception of a very, very few that I got to sit on their couches and have Kool-Aid on their back decks, they don't care. And that's the problem. They don't care. And even when people go there to show caring and love and compassion for them, they denounce it and they talk bad about it and they're very negative about it. And that to me as a new Christian, I'm still gaining strength in my faith and in the way I walk and the way I talk about the Lord. It scared me because I thought, well, my goodness, if I can't get to these simple people, and I say that with no disrespect. You're welcome. I say that with no disrespect, but what I failed to find there was love. And we went there with love. We went there with good intentions, went there with great intentions, and we didn't find any love there. All the children were scared to go out during the daytime because the gangs were out there. And there's a whole bunch of, and I don't want to get into all that. I'm going to try and cure some of that the next time we go. Only a couple more minutes. Thank you for allowing me to share a little bit of my story. I hope some of it made sense. I guess the bottom line is I've forgiven all of those before me. I am worshiping and praising and praying for all those ahead of me. And thanks for listening. Is that long enough? Okay, is that good? Yes, sir. And the people said, amen.
Why don't we pray?
Well, we could do that.
Yeah, so God, yeah, there are so many problems, and we see the struggles, and I just sense and we can feel the frustration in John. But we know that you are the Lord, and that's what we've been celebrating and remembering today, and that these people are your people. We are your people, and that we're all one family. And I thank you that you know the solution and that our hope is in Jesus. That's true for us who live in Red Deer. It's true for those who live in Obima. We need Jesus. We need you to be the anchor and to be the one who holds us fast to you. So we just pray for great change. Mm-hmm. We pray for change on the streets of Red Deer. We pray for change in the streets of Obima. And Lord, I just want to celebrate and thank you today for John and for the example that he is. I thank you, God, that you've changed his life, that you've taken him from the dumpsters, and you have redeemed his life from the pit. And so we know, Lord, that when we see that and we can testify to that, that you mm-hmm. can do that with anyone.
Anyone.
You've done that in my life. Mm-hmm. And so we just continue to just proclaim that you are the God of hope and you care for your people. And there's love, Lord, because of your love. And we thank you for this encouragement today. Mm-hmm. Be with John. Mm-hmm. Help him in his ministry. Give him courage and give him wisdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Mr. Evernall, you wanted to just say a couple words. Something happened, so come on up. I didn't know it was you because usually you sit over there. You got me all thrown off.
Okay, so our 23-year-old son, 7 years ago, got in a fight with a grain auger. Still makes me get all goofy because he could have lost his life, but his... Thankfully, just his foot got chewed up. Sorry about that. I'm getting all blubbery here over that still. That was like 7 years ago. That was September 5th, whenever that was, 06, I guess. Not real good at math, apparently. Anyway, whatever. Okay, get back to the point. So his foot was like, it was mangled. And after the, you know, all the surgery and all that, we were thankful that he didn't lose any toes. He didn't lose his foot. He didn't lose his life. He could have lost all of that, right? And anyway, so he is walking around with his one foot was not gibbled, but it was like it's really scarred badly, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a full, I think it's his right foot. Is it his right foot, Mark? I don't even know if it's his right foot or left foot. Anyways, it's like it's a full centimeter shorter than his other foot. And, you know, it was kind of weird for him to walk around in a pair of shoes that were the same size because his one foot didn't fit in that shoe too well. So less than a week ago, this past week, here he's with his buddies at a Bible study. And this is on Facebook, okay? So he takes a picture. He's sitting on the floor. He puts his 2 feet out on the floor. Sorry about that. Puts his 2 feet out on the floor, and he takes a picture of his foot. And you can see it. Like, his one foot is a centimeter. Chad's telling me to do something. Check it out. Check it out. See his right foot? Look at the toe. The big toe is, like, way shorter than his other one, right? People pray for him, and he's like 20 or 30 seconds later, his foot grows out.
Yeah. Hey. Now I understand why you wanted to share that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
That's good.
That's cool. So we're at. We're with relatives on the weekend here this past weekend, and they're like, no. I'm like, yeah! Yeah! Well, what do you mean? Well, he just prayed. The other guy just prayed for me, put his hands on my foot, he just prayed.
Amen.
And why not believe that, right? Why not?
Praise God. You need to pray. You need to thank him. You need to thank him.
God, we do thank you.
Yes, God.
We thank you, God. As you meet us, you meet us where we need you, God.
Mm-hmm. You are so good. Hallelujah.
You created us in the beginning. You knew us before we were born.
Mm. Thank you.
You've seen every step that we've taken in life, God. Every time we've moved our feet, God, throughout our life, you've been with us, you've seen us, you know us,
we need you, God.
You love us, you care for us, Hallelujah. You desire the best for us.
Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You've created heaven and earth.
You are God.
And you love us.
Mm. Hallelujah.
Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, God most holy.
All glory.
Blessed be the name of the Lord, God most high. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Give you the glory.
Thank you, God, for healing Carter.
Yes, God.
Thank you, God, for stretching his foot out here this past week.
Praise you.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, God, that you get the praise and you get the glory, and Carter is walking with you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
You're a good God.
You are a good God.
In Jesus we pray.
I love you. You say amen? Wow, they're just there's some stories that you can't not tell, right? That's and we believe that is awesome. I mean, we have an awesome God who does great things, and he's a God who heals, and we're always cognizant of the fact that we don't always understand everything. We don't always understand the healing, but we believe what the Word says. And he's a God who heals. He's a God who directs. He's a God who answers our prayers, and that he's in control. And I know that there's some hands up, and I'm sorry, we'll try to get to some of the hands maybe a different Sunday. Just want to carry on, you know, that same theme. God's in control. God loves Carter. And there's a couple of miracles that you spoke about. One is that his leg, his foot got healed. The other is that he's in a Bible study and he's 23 years old. Like, wow. That's pretty cool too, right? That's awesome. Thank you, God. Yeah. Yeah. You got 30 seconds. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Saved your life. Thank you, God. And there will be people, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because I believe there's some people here who need to be healed or something you need prayer for. And I want you to know that in about 45 minutes, there's going to be an opportunity for that. You need healing. You come here today and there's something really going on in your body or something going on in a relationship. You know, there's going to be opportunity for that today because we have the God who heals us. And I just want you to be prepared for that. Let's pray as we hear God's word. And this is, I'm sorry to cut you off sometimes, but this is actually more important than what we have to say. We need to hear from each other, and I love that part of this. But we also need to be people who really know the word of God. And God has something to say for us when we worship with him today. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Your word is so good, and it is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. So teach us today, and by the power of your Spirit, speak your truth into our hearts and remind us of what kind of a God you are and what kind of a relationship you want with us. So, Holy Spirit, just open our hearts. There are many of us here today. We just need to hear this message. We surrender to you and to your word, and that we might worship you today in spirit and in the truth, which is your word of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Just a little context of, just so you know, there's going to be a baptism service. We're going to go to the river in 2 weeks. So on the 13th of September, there'll be some testimonies, and then we're going to go to the river and baptize those who want to be baptized. And It's really about those who just want to say, yeah, I want to follow Jesus, like I said earlier. So it's never about twisting arms. It's never about, you know, manipulating people. But it is what Jesus said and what the Bible says we should do. We should repent. We should change the way we live. We should get baptized. And that baptism is a symbol of the sin that we have that's washed away. It's downstream. And anyone who wants to be part of that, come and see me. And I just love to be in the river with you and to baptize you. Like I said, it's just about, really, that's how we answer the call. When Jesus said, follow me, we go, yeah, I'll follow you. And how we do that is we start in the river. Really, that's where it starts. This morning, I'm going to be reading from Joshua chapter 1. And it just kind of, I think it's where God's been leading me. Just after that message, after we've been talking about the story of Jairus. Remember that story of Jairus we looked at a couple weeks ago? And he needed his daughter to be healed. And she was 12 years old. And Jesus, instead of going to Jairus' house, where, you know, clearly Jairus wants him to go to the house. He wants to get there as soon as possible. His daughter is dying. He's trying to push Jesus along. Those of you here, maybe you remember that story. He wants to get, you know, Jesus to, I mean, you would too, right? Your daughter is dying. We got to get Jesus there as quickly as possible. This is the only way she's going to be healed is if Jesus gets there. And instead, Jesus takes the spiritual scenic route. And he kind of mulls around the crowd, and he heals the woman. You know, remember the story of the woman who touched his garment? He's healing her, and then he's going, you know, who touched me? And Jairus must have been going, come on, you know, get going. We need to get you to my daughter. There's no way that she's going to be healed. We got to get there quickly because she's almost dead, right? And the point was, we kind of ended up with a point that God, Jesus, our God, is so much more interested in the journey with us than he is the destination. And that our tendency, especially with the world that we live in and with all the distractions we have and everything happens in short little intervals, our tendency is just to do things quickly. We're interested in the trip, just the trip, the quick trip. And we want God usually just for the quick trip. But God wants so much more than the quick trip with you. He wants to journey the whole road with you. He wants to journey the whole life for you, with you. And he's got the destination that he has for us is so much better than the destination that we think. He just wants to be with you. He loves you. Do you understand that today? God loves you so much. He just wants to be with you. He just wants to put his arm around you. He wants to know you. He wants us to stop this, you know, where we just need God a little bit here and a little bit there. And just when I'm in trouble, then I need God. And now I'm going to walk with you. And now I'll get in the Bible. We make these little deals with God. God goes, oh, you know, I'm your Father. I am your Father. I want to walk with you every step of the way. And I am interested in the journey. I want a journey with you. We're going to talk about the journey over the next few weeks. And today, just going to, because we're going to the river, I've been kind of drawn to that story of Joshua crossing the river. So read that with me today. In Joshua chapter 1, the people of Israel had just traveled for 40 years in the desert. So they've been going around in circles. And that was with the leadership of Moses. And now Moses is dead. Moses is gone. And God is raising up a new leader, Joshua. And he says, Joshua, what I want you to do is I want you to take my people and I want you to cross the Jordan and I want you to claim the land. It's time to claim the land. This is your inheritance. And it's something I promised to Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob. I promised it to Moses. I'm promising it to you. It's now up to you, Joshua. So be strong and be courageous. Listen to these words. First 9 verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot. Isn't that good? I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. There's a promise. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And here's where we focus on this this cry from God's heart. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. The answer to that question is, yes, you have commanded us. We just heard you say it two times. Here's the third time, right? Have I not commanded you? Did you not get it? Did you listen? Did you hear me? Be strong and be courageous, right? Don't be terrified. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I want to think about those words this morning for just a bit. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I don't know about you, but I love that idea that we're at the bank of a river, you know, and that it's time to get out of the desert. How about you? Mm-hmm. I love that picture, and I believe that the reason why God includes this in His Word is so that we read it. I mean, He knew thousands of years ago that we would read these words and that it would be the message for us to go, you know, maybe it's time to get out of the desert, folks. Maybe it's time to, you know, follow my leading, that wherever I go, I will be with you. Maybe it's time to actually step out and get out of the desert and walk through the Jordan River and to claim the land that I have promised you. In fact, I not only promised it to you, I promised it to your fathers, and I promised it to their fathers, and I promised this for generations, that this is the promised land, and this is the land that I am about to give you. I don't know about you, but isn't it about time that we get out of that desert? And then we take that step, and we take that journey. And maybe for some of you, that's a journey of actually getting into the Red Deer River. It's not the Jordan River, but it's the Red Deer River, and it's time to make that decision that I'm going to follow, I'm going to hear the call to follow, and I'm going to actually follow Him. Amen? Because something's got to change, and something's got to give in our lives for us to be followers of Jesus. If the disciples had said, yeah, I'll follow you, you know, but you go ahead, I'll be there when I get there, you know, they wouldn't be following Him, right? We're told that when Jesus said, follow me, they left their nets and they followed Him. They didn't just keep fishing. They didn't keep mending their nets. They didn't say, Jesus, you go on ahead, I'll catch up with you. No, they said, I'm going to follow you. And really, that's what it's about, is that when Jesus says, follow me, it's time to get up and it's time to follow Him. And something needs to change for that to happen. And what I want to explain and teach today and have you understand, and this is just real basic Christianity 101, but it's that our God is an encouraging God. He is such an encourager, and you cannot read this passage in Joshua 1 without understanding it. You got to understand that when you read it. I mean, God makes this so clear. He just says it over and over and over again. He says, I am your God. I am with you always. I'm going to go before you. So be strong and be courageous. And He says it three times, and we didn't read it, but a little later on, He says it a fourth time, just in case we are so slow that we don't hear it, right? Be strong and courageous. And I don't know what your concept is of God. I'm not sure what you think about when you think of God. There's a lot of people, they think that, you know, God, He's sort of this meanie, and he's way off in some foreign, distant galaxy, or that he's a judgmental God, and He's always got His fist out, and He's ready to just crunch you. All that is wrong. And really what we need to understand, and this passage makes this so clear, that He's the kind of God that, you know, really what He wants to do is put His arm around you. This sister here is getting baptized, by the way, in a few weeks. Yeah. He's the kind of father who just wants to put His arms around us and say, be strong and be courageous, right? He's an encouraging God. You get that? He's not here to beat you up. He's not here to whip you into shape. He is a teacher. You know, Jesus was called a teacher all the time. He is he's a father. I can't think of a better term right now. He just wants to say, you know, be strong. Just keep being strong. Be courageous. Don't give up. Keep your eyes on me. This is the God that we're talking about today, right? Be strong and courageous. And he doesn't say, be strong, be very strong. He says, be strong and courageous, which implies for us that those are two different words that mean two different things. I just want to touch on that for a bit. When he says, be strong, what he means by that is it's really the physical strength. And it's not the strength that you can muster up on your own, Tim or Matthias. It's a strength that comes to us from God. But it's about physical strength. It's about the gifts that he's given us. It's about a strength that we have so that we are enabled to do what God calls us to do. Right? The kingdom of God, the Bible says in Matthew, is going to be advanced by forceful men. There's going to be strength involved in this. It's not a strength that you can muster up on your own, but it is a strength that is given to you from God. And there's a certain strength, a certain part of the strength that is physical. We need to be gifted and we need to have the strength to do what God wants us to do. Amen? It's true. I get this, maybe this is a bad picture in my head, but I'm thinking about those guys that throw the hammer, you know, in the Olympics. You know, and you see, or the guys who lift the weights, you know, and before they go into their competition, sometimes they do all kinds of crazy things. You know, they're beating their chest and they're banging their heads and they're getting themselves psyched up, and you know, they've done all the work, they've done all the preparation, and then they get down and it's, you know, you see their muscles are ripped and right? Well, that's strength, and there is a physical strength, and it's a reminder to me of what Paul said when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and what God wants you to know today is that you're strong enough. You are strong enough, not because you're so great, not because you've worked out, but you're strong enough because you have Christ. And for whatever the task is, whatever the challenge is, whatever the river is that you got to cross, hear this today. You're strong enough. You have the strength to complete the work that God has begun. Amen? So there's that one sense, being strong is that kind of strength. The second, he says, and be courageous. Be courageous. He says that to Joshua. You're about to lead the people, Joshua. You're going to take over from Moses. You need to be strong. You need to be courageous. And that word really has to do more with the heart. It's about bravery. Be brave, right? It has more, it's more the spiritual strength or the heart strength where we dare to do the things that God calls us to do. It's not just about physical strength, but it's about being courageous, having courage, being brave, daring, right? Do you dare to do what God calls you to do? And a lot of times, you know, sometimes God calls me to do something, I go, you know, call Frank, don't call me. Frank can do that much better, right? Or Jerry, you know. Be strong, but be brave, be courageous. And again, you can have that bravery and that courage in your life, no matter what it is that God's calling you to do, because He equips you. He equips you, He gifts you with what you need to be doing the exploits that we need to be doing to advance and build the kingdom of God. Amen? Be brave. I don't, you know, bravery is one of those words that we don't hear about much today. You know, it used to be that, you know, people, we talked about it more. We talked about valor and chivalry. That's, I think that word means when you open the door and you let your wife go in first and then you go around the other side. Not a lot of that happening nowadays. Not a lot of bravery either. Right? And even in the church. You know, in the church, I don't know if I'm going to get into this. I'm going to get into it a little bit. It's like we don't want to talk about it. We're happy in the church if people just show up. If you show up, good for you. That's all we're asking. Just come and find a place. Don't do anything. Just sit there. Maybe give some money, but that's all we care about. You don't need to be brave. You don't need to be courageous. You don't need to do anything because our staff is doing it all for you. Or some other missionary out there is doing it all for you. And it's almost like at the end of the day, as you leave, everyone's going to get a participation ribbon. You know, I'm not a big fan of participation ribbons. I'm sorry. But, you know, here you go. You get a white ribbon and you did a good thanks for coming. Here's your white ribbon and here's your white ribbon. You know, it's just God said, I made you, you are more than conquerors. You're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And it's time that we start living like victors, right? And it's time that we start stepping out from that. I mean, part of this comes from a story I read a couple weeks ago, about an NFL football player whose son got a participation trophy. I mean, his team lost, he did badly, but he sent the trophy back. He said, my son, you know, doesn't need a participation trophy. Now, that's a little extreme. But on some level, I kind of agree with him. You know, everyone is getting a trophy. Everyone in the church is getting a pat on the back, saying, oh, you're not doing anything. You're still getting a pat on the back. You're still getting the white ribbon. And we're just glad you showed up. You get points just for showing up. Well, that's not the way I read the scriptures. We don't get points for just for showing up. We get points for doing what God calls us to do, for stepping out in faith, for being brave, for listening to his voice, for being obedient. Those are not just for showing up. And we have a whole church, especially in North America, that is, I know I'm going off here, I got to stop because people are going to listen to this on their computers. Got to be careful. But I mean, that's what I believe God's been sharing with me. We got a whole church, a whole generation of people who think that they're just being so pleasing to God as long as they just show up. And God says, I have so much more for you. And the life would be so much more exciting if you just follow me and be obedient. If you just dared to pray for someone for sickness. I told you could do it, right? If you just believed, what I said in the Word of God. I did not call you to just show up. I called you to act and to live. Amen? So this God of ours is a God who encourages. And that's really the message he's given me today. He just wants to encourage you. He wants me to be a vessel today of that encouragement. To encourage you and to say, you know, just keep it up. Right? Go on out there and do what God called you to do. I know you're doing that, but I want to tell you today to not stop. Yeah. Don't be discouraged. Don't let anyone discourage you. Don't let the enemy discourage you. Carry on. God's given you a ministry. God's given you a position with your children, your grandchildren. God says you need to know that you are making a huge difference in their lives. And you are a blessing to them. I want you to hear the words of God's encouragement to you. There's some of you, if you don't mind, I'm going to just share some encouraging things today. There's some of you who are near the end of your lives. Yeah, really. I'm not going to say who, because I don't know who. But God would, you know, God would want you to know this, that he wants you to finish strong. He does. And I believe, you know, when I've been praying about this week, he said, tell this, say this to the people, say this to my children, finish strong. And you don't know how long it's going to be. None of us do. You might be 80 years old. You could live for 20 years. You could be 30 years old. You might be dead next week. You don't know. But finish strong. Finish strong. You are people of faith. One of the strengths that we have in this little church of ours is we have a lot of older people who have been such faithful warriors for God. Don't stop. Right? Ricky? Gertie? You know, don't. Finish strong. It's a race. Finish it. Finish it. Yeah. Thank you, God. Right? Some of you are struggling in parenting. It's hard to be a parent. And to set that example and to hold our children to boundaries and to parameters and to teach them about Jesus, don't quit doing it. Don't grow discouraged. Those children are given to you as they're lent to you. They have been loaned to you. And you need to keep planting into their lives. You hear me? God wants to encourage you guys today. Don't quit it. Don't stop. Don't be discouraged. I know that they mess up sometimes. I know sometimes those kids are hard. I know that sometimes they seem like Carrie. It's overwhelming. Don't quit. God just wants me to look right in the eye and say, you be encouraged today. You be strong. You be brave in this. You be the mom that God wants you to be. God says, you keep doing it. It's true. It's true. Be strong. Be courageous. Be brave. Don't quit, you know. God's that God who just keeps saying, keep going. Keep walking. Keep moving. Keep looking to me. Look here. Look here. Right? Look here. Don't look over there. Don't go. Look here. Keep your eyes on me. Right? Right here. Watch my lips. Be strong. Be courageous. That's God. Don't quit. Right? Chris, don't be cynical. That's the word God gave me for you. And I don't think you are cynical. But I think that the ministry you have, working in the kitchen, and that's true for those who work around you as well, Arlene. Don't be cynical. It's so easy to do this. You keep feeding people, and you go, oh, what's the point? None of this makes any difference. You know, it's easy for that to captivate us. God would say to you today, be strong. Be brave. Be brave. Don't be cynical. Don't worry about the results. God will take care of that. Keep doing exactly what God has asked you to do. Don't give up. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Right? Yeah, He'll be with you wherever you go. Yeah. Thank you, God. Some of you are dealing with sickness. You know, cancer. I can think of Gaston, who's in the back, and Ted, Ruth Ann. At least three, is probably more. Different of you have, different people have had cancer before. And God would say today to you, and those of you who are sick, you know, pray for healing. Don't be afraid to come for more healing. And believe that He is the God who heals you. But don't quit. Don't stop the fight. Keep fighting against this thing that is warring your body. And be strong and be brave. Be strong and be brave. That's the word of God. You're fighting. You're fighting against a system. You're fighting against a relationship. Don't quit. You need to be a dad to your boys and your daughter. Is it one daughter or two? Oh, sorry, Craig. You got one daughter and two sons, right? Yeah. I want to make sure I got that right. Craig, God just says, you know what, Craig? I want you to hear this today. Be strong. Just be brave. Keep being the dad that you're tempting. You are. Keep being the dad that you are. God wants to encourage us. That's the kind of a father that He is. He knows that this is not an easy life, that there's hard things, and that going across this river, it takes faith to do this. Right? The sickness, the hard things. Sonny, I think about you. And I could go on. Honestly, I could go on all afternoon if you want me to. If you want to stay, I got lots of encouraging things that I believe that God wants us to share. But just as importantly, you can just listen to Him. Because in your heart, right now, God will tell you, you know, get back into the mission field. Be strong. I'm talking to you guys. Get in the mission field. Get back to Costa Rica. Just be strong. Yeah, I got insurance. It's up there. Don't worry about me. Just be brave. You hear me? Don't hear me. God, be brave. Because the Lord your God is with you. And He's gone ahead of you. He's already there. He's already there. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, God. There's so much I want to do today, but I want to read this. Our lovely, wonderful sister shared this with me a couple of weeks ago, and it's a prophetic word that was given to Karen, and Karen is, if you don't know her, she's just the real deal. Like, what I mean by that is, I mean that some people aren't the real deal. But Karen has a heart for God, and she listens to God, and she hears Him, and that's been confirmed. The word of the prophet, the Bible says, needs to be confirmed over and over. It needs to be truthful. And this is a word that God gave to Karen for the church, for the bride, for this particular body. And I want to read it so that you'll be encouraged today. Excuse me. It was given to God, to Karen on August 9th. Potter's Hands Assembly is right where I want them to be. They are doing what I want them to do, feeding the hungry, finding homes for the homeless, caring for the widows and orphans. Why do you seek me? Why do you seek more? Sorry. Be a place where there is rest. Be a sanctuary. What is lacking? Build the relationship between one another and love the Lord your God wholeheartedly. Why do you need more power? Do you need to see it to believe that you have it? Why? Do you not know that you have all of me all the time? Do not be like the masses, always striving to seek me. I am not lost. I am here. In the quiet and in the stillness, in your presence. Slow down and learn to be still, and you will hear me. Consider my ways, gentleness, kindness, peace, mercy, loving, tolerance. I did not seek the glory of mankind. I am glory. I am wisdom, and I am love. Seek the character of God. Sacrifice yourself. And imitate my character so that you live in peace with each other. I share that with you. She shares it with all of us so that you'll be encouraged. So that the body is built up and so that we corporately hear those words today from God. When he says, you know, be strong. Be brave. Don't forget that I've always been with you, and don't be terrified. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen? It was Thursday, and I was driving in my truck, and I got a phone call, and I could see it on my radio. You don't see who's phoning, and it was Micaiah, it said, my youngest son. And, okay, so I pushed the button, and he came on the loudspeakers, and he said, Dad. And then his voice cracked. And he kind of choked back a sob. And I knew, oh, man, something's wrong. Because it doesn't happen. He says, Dad, you got a few minutes to talk. I said, yeah, of course. What's going on, Mick? What's happening? And he took about 10, 15 seconds. He couldn't get the words out. And he said, Dad, we got a call from the doctor that we had to go in and see the doctor this morning, and that there's something wrong with our baby. Rachel has had a hard time getting pregnant. She had felt 5 months along, and they phoned her up, and they said, you got to come in the morning. He said, so we went there this morning, and we don't know what's all wrong with the baby. But the doctors do believe that the baby has a cleft palate and that there could be more things wrong. He said, Dad, what do we do? You know, there's nothing that's worse than when your sons or your children are hurting and you don't really have a great answer. Well, I did have a great answer, but it doesn't seem great at the time. And my answer to him, and I was choking up my own tears and going, Micaiah, you and Rachel love Jesus, and you've been so in prayer over this little baby, and God has been so good to you. We are not quitting on this. We are not, right? That our God, you know, I know what the doctors say, and they may even be partly right, and none of it really matters because God can take care of whatever it is. And I want you to know, I said, and this is it. This is the message. This is the word. Don't be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And I'd ask you, because I know you love me, and even if you don't, I'm going to ask you, please pray for them. Pray for Micaiah and Rachel. They're going to a whole bunch of tests starting on Tuesday. And, you know, God can do whatever God wants to do. And we're going to be praying for healing. Tonight at our prayer meeting, I'm going to ask people to pray about it again. And, you know, it's our time for our family to go through a hard thing. But I believe in my God. And I believe that he's a healer. And I believe, you know, he can sew that up. He can fix it. He's done that with many, many people. And we're praying that nothing worse, no matter what, there's nothing worse. There's no other brain injuries. There's no other heart congestive problems. There's none of that. We're going to speak. We're going to speak. That this God of ours, he is with us, and that he will be in this situation. Will you please pray for that for us? I need that. Amen. That we receive the ultimate encouragement from God. And I don't know where else to go. And I said that to Micaiah. I said, Dad, you know, son, I don't know where else to go but to tell you to go back to God. It's the only place you can go. And he'll hold you, I promise you. And I said this to him. And I believe, I said, you know what? I can tell you this. This is going to be all right. One way or the other, I can promise you this. This is going to be all right. Just trust in him. So I want to pray now, and then I'm going to show you a quick video. And I don't do this very often because I'm not into selling other people's songs, but this God gave me this a week ago before I even got this call from Micaiah, and it's been so good for me. And I believe in, maybe there's someone here who needs to see this too. So I want to pray, and then I want to invite you after that, anyone who needs prayer, just come to the front. Anyone who just needs to be reminded again to be strong, to be brave. God, thank you. I'm so glad that you are my Father, that you're not just some distant deity. I'm so glad that you put your arm around me and that you whisper in my ear, keep going. Don't quit. Don't stop. Keep your feet moving. Look me in the eye. Attaboy. You're doing well. Keep moving. Keep being obedient. Don't worry. Don't be terrified. Don't be afraid. I am with you. I am with you every step of the way. I'm with you. I'm really here on this journey. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You want to put that on?
So God, he's with you. He's with you through all of it. And he wants you to know today to just be strong and to just be brave. Would you stand? Let's just stand together. I just want to give you the blessing of God, and then we're going to sing a song. You can stay. I encourage you to stay for more ministry or for some prayer. Maybe just you need to talk to someone today. Maybe you need to just tell someone, I am a Christ follower. I have decided to follow Jesus. And there's opportunity for that. So receive this from God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May God give you his peace. Amen. God bless you. We're going to sing a song that, you know, we haven't done this song for a long time. But the words are just exactly the right words. It's all the way my Savior leads me. You can sing it with us and come up to the front, find a place to kneel. Just pray and ask God to lead you. If you're struggling today or you're wondering, maybe you're a little lost, it's time. Time to come back to Jesus. All the way my Savior leads me. Who could I ask beside? How could I doubt his tender mercies? Who through life has been my guide? All the way my Savior leads me. Just come to Jesus. He cheers each winding path I've tread. He gives me grace for every trial. He feeds me with the living bread. Falling, you carry me close to your heart, and surely your goodness and mercy will follow me. Will follow me. Just come, come to Jesus. All the way. Savior leads me, and all the fullness of his love, in the sureness of his promise, in the triumph of his love. And when my spirit clothes immortal light on realms of day, this my song through endless ages. Yes, Jesus leads me. Jesus leads me all the way. Jesus leads me. Jesus leads me all the way. Falling, you carry me close to your heart, and surely your goodness and mercy will follow me. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. We need some prayers, too. If you're just called by God to pray, just come and pray. All the way he leads me. Thank you, Jesus. Mark, will you come and pray? And Tim, will you come? Paul Ann and your wife, would you come and pray? pray. Yes, God. Let's just minister and care for each other. Isn't God good? Just be strong. All the way, Eli.